listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 8th already. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. And I'm glad to have you joining us live, those that are able to make it. And thank you to those joining us from the archives. We appreciate you taking time out of your week to catch up with us and enjoy a good conversation, maybe explore some interesting ideas. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about making new traditions. Of course, a lot of different avenues to take on this topic. Now, I think the reason that we're really talking about this is my push to replace Christmas and Yuletide and all of those holidays with the Star Wars Life Celebration from the classic 1970s holiday special. Oh, I'm kidding, of course. No, Dr. Hunter this brilliant idea, and, you know, talking about real-life scenarios where you have a number of things. And Dr. Hunter, why don't you get us started?
Well, you know, it kind of inspired me. And he or she knows who they are, and I'm not going to name names, but I got a message from someone saying, you know, we're trying to create new traditions, and what do you think? So, you know, we just kind of had a conversation via Messenger. But, you know, I got thinking about it, how we're always in a situation, and I mean this sincerely, always, by life or life circumstances and so on, that we want to change up tradition. Now, we're coming into the holiday season. How do you do that? Now, it might be simple, Michael, as, oh, a couple has a new baby. What kind of a new tradition do you want to incorporate? Well, that could kind of be an easy one. What if it's a blended family and the first time, you know, two families sharing the holiday season? Well, you know, so, but what if you're also not of the Christmas mind, for instance, you know, and more of a pantheist mind like moi. But there's other things too, and to be totally respectful of people who are of different, let's say, religious backgrounds, mm-hmm. getting together. And if you can get through all of that and you can find that middle ground, then you're going to find, you know, look for and find new traditions that suit everyone. So that's kind of what, you know, where I'm going with this tonight. I think that how do you create new traditions? And I'll tell you some of the things that I've done, but also what I've noticed and what other people have done. But, you know, Michael, I have a question for you.
Oh.
Da-da.
I'm getting ready.
suspense. You know, when you were young and you left the Jehovah's Witnesses, what was one of the first traditions that you changed when you and your dad were on your own?
Christmas.
And how did
maybe
you, how did you
before
do that?
That, my birthday.
Ah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't celebrate anything other than anniversaries and... you might call it Easter, or it's around the Passover. It's essentially the Last Supper, the memorial they refer to it as. Other than that, birthdays are, you know, you don't celebrate them. So, and they kind of do, you know, like, you know, you wake up and it's kind of exciting and you just, maybe you have a special meal or something like that, but you don't really celebrate your birthday. They just kind of do. I still, every year, get a text from my aunt, who is still a Jehovah's Witness, on my birthday. And she doesn't say happy birthday, but she just says thinking about you today or something like that. And I love her. She's a wonderful person. I disagree wholeheartedly with her philosophically and dogmatically, but just such a wonderful person. I'm, you know, truly lucky to have, you know, many wonderful family members that I've, you know, struggled to maintain a bond with and maintain a relationship with, not because they're not good people and not because they don't love me and I don't love them, but, you know, largely because we have changed, dare I say, subcultures. We have embraced each of us different traditions. And traditions is kind of a broad thing. Of course, we're in the holiday season in the Western world right now, where we're approaching Christmas, which I think largely can be celebrated in a secular fashion. But traditions, that encompasses a lot of different things, you know, traditions of what you do and family traditions.
Well, you know, it's interesting about your birthday. I just have a question. When you celebrated your first birthday, what was the first things that you did to create a tradition? Was it a cake? Was it a gift? Was it a party? Was it,
I don't even know if we have traditions now.
Okay.
I'm just, we probably had a little cake. It wasn't a big party or anything like that. There was a lot going on, but, maybe a cake, a gift, a special dinner, and actually saying happy birthday. Christmas was different. There was no specific family tradition. It was more like having fun with the cultural tradition. So you got the Christmas tree, you get the gifts, you do the dinner and the family and people staying over and opening presents on Christmas morning and just doing the celebration, the stuff that you see in movies. Nothing really special other than the fact that it was all new at 13, you know, which is kind of a fun thing in and of itself.
Well, I think that's really relevant because that's what we're talking about, creating or building new traditions and, you know, finding your way through socially, I think it is one of the first big things, social acceptance. And sometimes we're very enamored with things, and so we want to experience that. So I find that quite interesting. When I have met people who have never celebrated birthdays either, and they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, for other reasons, their families just didn't do it. And holy cow, wait a minute, we are doing birthday, because in my reality, my world is that's the one day to celebrate coming into this world. Now, one of the indigenous practices that I was also shown many years ago was on your birthday, you take a gift to the mother and you thank the mother for giving you life.
So now we know why you like birthdays so much.
Yeah, I know. I keep telling my kids, where's my present on your birthday? we don't do. But, I mean, this is what I mean. There's such an array of ways to celebrate.
Speaking of making new traditions, just change the happy birthday to you're welcome for bringing you into this world.
Yeah, there you go. For me, it was easy to make. I've never felt Christian. I've told everybody here many times before. I got kicked out of teaching Sunday school when I was 14 because I dared to ask who said Christ looked like that. So it was an easy shift for me to not be, because I didn't get it. I honestly didn't get Christianity in my purview. Just didn't make any sense at all. So when, you know, early raising my kids, you want them to be a part of something, and that happens to be the holiday. It happens to be when they're not in school. People have a day off, and I get it. But it still didn't feel right. So it was a natural segue for me when the kids would go with their dad, and I say, yeah, have at her. And I immediately, this is well over 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I said, no, my real belief is the solstice, you know, that's the winter Yuletide. And I had to investigate a lot of things. Of course, I'm mostly Viking, Scandinavian, Norse, Sami. And I wanted to be as true to my DNA as possible. And it's still a life's work of research and always learning about more things that my ancestors did. But, you know, I did have this handful of things that we do that are truly traditional. And making, it's a little pouch in a white fabric with the entire red ribbon around it, but you stuff it with mistletoe, and we use hawthorn. Now, each of those has their own properties. And mistletoe is one of the most powerful herbs in the world. There's a whole Scandinavian story to that with Baldur and Loki and so on. And we tell these stories at the dinner table every Yuletide.
At what point during this ceremony do you pledge yourselves to Satan? I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, there's these few things that we do every Yuletide that kind of, I subdued my input as my children raise their children, because I feel like I should be invited in. And as the kids have been getting older, they're now early teens, and my daughters and her husband are asking me to be more vocal about teaching them energy work and so on, because they're old enough to comprehend now. And the kids participate. So now my daughter is building a book of all the traditions throughout the year that will be passed down. So it's kind of like a resurrection of our ancestry and our DNA ancestry and our culture. Okay. Now, that's what I have done. And it has been a little bit difficult for the grandkids when we live in a primarily Christian community. And it's been especially difficult if, let's say, they didn't get out for Christmas holidays till the 23rd, and they're taking a day off on the 21st, and, oh, we already had our Christmas, you know? And trying to explain, so to make them not feel like they're missing out, but rather being true to who we are and still being able to find their own way.
And I have to imagine that, you know, for many people who live in Western, largely Christian nations, that if you're Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, or, you know, anything else like you are, you know, adhering to the more of your personal indigenous roots, the solstice, and I think there's something really truly wonderful about, I don't know if I would say ancestor worship, but I would say respecting and reflecting on and giving honor to our ancestors. And while you were talking about the, you know, how Christmas made you feel and things like that, you know, I joked earlier, referring to, you know, the paganism and, you know, what, strict fundamentalist Christian would say about such things. But the irony is, as a raised as Jehovah's Witness, and by the way, Jehovah's Witnesses call each other Jehovah's Witnesses, but to my experience, almost largely otherwise, they're called Jehovah's. You're one of them Jehovah's, right?
Yeah.
But to be raised the first, you know, 12, 13 years of my life, it was Christmas that was satanic. That was an aberration. It was not an aberration. It was a merger. You know, it wasn't a Christian holiday. It was observing a pagan holiday, and it was. It was based on the Roman holiday of Saturnalia, and that's widely commonly known now. And
Interesting.
it should also be noted that the Puritans, the fundamentalist Christians who settled early America, they did not celebrate Christmas either for the very same reason. Because, you know, they were part of the Protestant movement, especially in that day and age where, you know, the Catholic Church was looked upon with much skepticism, and all they looked at all these traditions that were founded and they, you know, asked why. So to me, I never associated Christmas with Christianity, not ever once. And for me, the first time we celebrated it, our family would have looked at us as being pagan. And it's just an interesting thing about perspectives, isn't it?
It is. Different realities.
Absolutely.
It is different realities. You know, Audra's talking in the chat, and I'd just like to inject this, Michael. She said she found, she says, I find it hard to explain to people why I don't celebrate Christmas, or at least buy your kids presents, quote unquote, because we just don't, and many people can't grasp why I wouldn't use the excuse to spoil my kid. And she said he gets things throughout the year for other reasons. And she also added, Protestant preachers run in my family, mine too. But it's when you say it's hard to explain, I know. It's we feel like when you're doing different than what is commonly in your environment, we feel like we need to defend ourselves and find those reasons. And when I changed my view, just like you're talking about, Michael, when I changed my perception, I went, it doesn't bother me if you're Christian.
Yeah.
And I just changed that view of, and I don't have to defend myself. You see, and I don't have to explain it. Now, we do get gifts, but we draw names. And it's kind of a rule thing of one gift. And we have fun with that. And mind you, well, for me, grandkids are hands off. But it's however you choose to do that.
Right.
Especially if you're saying, I don't celebrate Christmas at all, but what do you celebrate? Is there a celebration? So would you have a tradition of some kind, or would you, you know, add other things that would celebrate the time of year? Some people may not want to do that at all, Michael.
Yeah.
You want to check out, you know.
I would have to imagine that a big reason that a celebration like Christmas is popular, especially in Europe where it gets cold in the winter, is because it gets cold in the winter and it's dark and it's blah. And you're like, you just want a reason to, humans throughout time, we found excuses left and right to come together and just celebrate life and enjoy one another and enjoy what it is to be human, to be the human animal, to exist in a society and appreciate those traditions. That can, you know, we were talked briefly on this earlier too about how people coming into, you know, from a new culture, maybe immigrants largely, especially too. Close dear friend of mine is Muslim, and she was born. She's Bengali, but she was born in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, so she's very familiar with those traditions and, you know, Ramadan and things like that. And I have to admit, she does thoroughly enjoy Christmas as well, but celebrates it, you know, secularly, not religiously at all. But, you know, it's different to come to a country that's not, you know, majority Muslim, because we don't have, like, the national festivities around Ramadan and things like that. So those things are different. There's a bit of a cultural shock. And I think us, being, you know, metaphysical humanists, we often come from different family backgrounds, and often I think we still want to celebrate with our families and do things. And I think that we can do that in the spirit of celebrating life and celebrating one another. And I completely agree that, you know, nobody should force you into celebrating something you don't feel inclined to, such as Christmas. And I think there is a lot to be said for the commercialization of the holiday and the economic
Bonkers.
Purpose of
yeah.
it. And
well,
go ahead.
No, Ronnie's saying in the chat, I stopped celebrating Christmas a few years ago and I don't explain it. If asked, it's a religious holiday and not my religion.
Yeah.
And that's just end of story. That's a good one. I think that, again, everyone has to be true to themselves. But if you want to, and if it's in your reality to want to create traditions, you can do so. There's nothing to say that you can't create a new practice, if you will, a new kind of thing. Now, maybe you want to look up when the full moons, new moons are, and each has its own energy. Look at the time of year. Maybe it is you just want to celebrate birthdays, and that's all you care about. You know, maybe there's
or
you're
Halloween.
Going to have sure the hell Halloween, man, that's sacred. Maybe it's you want to do a family event once a year and pick your own day. You know, it's because I think we are creatures of habit and we are traditional. And those traditions keep us intact. And that's my feeling about it. And I'm not saying I'm right, Michael, but I think that when we have these routines and rhythms and cycles, and it keeps us connected in a way. You know, when you have a cake at your birthday, you know, a number of years ago, my oldest daughter said, Mom, please stop making me cakes. I hate cakes. I said, well,
more of a kind of pie fan.
She is. And she said, please just make me an apple pie. I love your apple pies. You know, I said, done deal.
I got to say, you know, that right up my alley. I mean, I like cake fine. It's fine. But, yeah, cheesecake. Excellent. Red velvet cake, that's some pretty good stuff. I even like carrot cake, but pie is the best. You get that crust, you get the, you know.
There you go.
Muy bueno.
Well, I think that part of what is really important for people to understand here is, in my view again, because mine is the only one that matters, Michael.
But, no, sorry. Mine is the only one that matters. Come on.
Going to have fun with this, guys. Is to sit down and negotiate with newcomers, with your people who are, let's say, new to your environment, to your home or your family, and talk about, like, just share what you've normally done. And if you agree to change it and everybody's amicable about that, have at her. I don't think there's any strict rule where we have to follow. Just because I do what I do doesn't mean I think others should do it. I really do appreciate the natural rhythms of Earth, of the cycles of nature, and that's where I go, in the moon cycles, and understanding what those energies are. And that's how I feel like I breathe.
You know,
I connect with that.
And I was just thinking to myself, it does seem like a lot of the major holidays are, you know, around solstices. And, well, that's largely also because they came from ancient traditions and, you know, indigenous to Europe, Central Asia, North Africa, all those. But I was just thinking, I don't know if there is a holiday that is, you know, a religious holiday during the summer, which would coincide with that.
Yes.
You know, other than, you know, of course, the whole world celebrates July 4th, America's Independence Day, and that's just a given. But I'm just trying to think, what else is in the summer? I can't think of anything.
Summer solstice.
Well, yes, but it seems like the various religions just kind of, you know, say, we're not going to have a big holiday in the summer. It's too hot.
I actually have friends who have a big bonfire barbecue on the summer solstice every year, and they've been doing it for the last 50 years that I've known her. You know, this group of people, and it's like a ritual and, you know, and it's great fun. But again, that's important to them. And that's their family event, by the way, Michael. That's where all the family comes together. And her being the matriarch now, and all of her parents are gone and aunts and uncles, she stepped up and carried it on. And I expect that well, now she's a great grandmother, believe it or not, and they'll keep it up, the kids. So it has become a real family thing, summer solstice. But again, that's up to people. So if you're merging families, I think that it's really critical to pay attention to how kids are sensitive and what's important to them. Just ask them. You know, what's the best part about this time of year for you, and incorporate that. And satisfy people, not, in other words, don't focus on differences, focus on what makes people feel good And because that's what the season is. You know, winter is when, think of this as when life goes to sleep, and it's sleeping, regenerating its energy. It's waiting for spring, you know, so we honor that, and we, in again, my reality, we talk to the gods and the spirit world, and we honor those gods, and in my reality, those gods were all aliens, and, you know, there we go.
Well, sure.
And we make fun with that, too. So, it's...
I mean, obviously, Santa's an alien. No human could deliver all those gifts on one night. And don't tell me what the deep state wants you to believe, that Santa's not real. No, I know.
Well,
but
yeah, I hear you. So I think that if people are, again, creating something new, first and foremost, be respectful. And we can't change people's minds, and we can't impose. That's really important. That's number one. Do no harm, do right. Right. And then start creating, you know, things that would routine to satisfy everyone. Now, I know that especially blended families, it can be very stressful. Trust me, I've counseled enough of them, and, you know, it can be really tricky. But yeah, if you can remember the spirit of the season and to put differences aside and try to make it as fun and lighthearted as possible, maybe there's, you know, people, the family is good at games. Maybe incorporate games for the day. And what we also did Christmas Day, because everything is kind of quiet and shut down, my kids and I do movies, and sometimes I don't want to go, and I say, I'm not coming. And they go, okay, Mom, we're watching movies. I say, good. See you. Yeah. You know, and we're cool with that, because solstice is the most important.
That is kind of a tradition that my friends and I had for a few years in a row, maybe four. We would go, you know, catch a new release on Christmas Day. That, you know, that night after everybody did their family thing, a few of us would go and catch a movie. It's been years, though. I think the most recent was Django Unchained. So that's what? Oh, God, that's so long ago. Oh, my God, I'm so old. All right, so we're going to move beyond this existential crisis. But, you know, I do think that when it came to traditions, my personal perspective, of course, as previously stated, is coming from a blank slate. So it's not as if I had anything to base it on, or, you know, I just kind of went with the flow. Like, hey, that sounds good. Looks like fun. You know, like the whole Christmas thing, you know, that was just pent up years of seeing everybody else do Christmas and wanting to, like, hey, I want to have fun too. That looks like a good time. So you would just do the things that you think you do at Christmas. And again, it's just a reason to celebrate each other and celebrate life. And whatever is going to bring that to you, whatever path you need to take that's right for you, that feels honest for you, to get to that point of celebrating life and celebrating your family and friends, and the fact that we get to exist and we get to share each other's, you know, time and thoughts. And that is what it is to be the human animal. And that's, you know, one of the benefits that we get, along with that cursed knowledge and awareness. We get to,
well, you know,
go ahead.
If I inject here, Dr. Jeff has pretty much said that in the chat also, if I'd like to read this. He said he and his partner have also decided not to exchange gifts so we can focus on just enjoying our time together and not feeling the pressure to give or receive. And I have and making sure I have the proper reactions to receiving, if that makes any sense. I know, it's those Christmas sweaters, isn't it? And there's other comments like that. They're still keeping the tree and the mistletoe. Awesome. And so that's a creating. I have my daughter in the U.S., her and her husband, they don't give each other gifts either. They never have. When we draw names, my son-in-law in the U.S. has everything he needs, and he's very picky.
Right.
How do you buy for the guy who has everything? Well, wouldn't you know, because they don't listen to the show, so I'm pretty safe here. 2 years in a row, I get his name, Michael. I have had to be very clever and put a lot of effort into that.
You could just get him a card, put some cash in it, and then write a note that says, here, you do it.
No, yes, Cash, he's fine. You know, it's like that's not even
But
fun. But it is that's why we draw names in one gift, and it's
yeah.
the gesture. And we have a $50 cap on that, and it's more about fun. I
You
tell you,
know,
these guys have gotten very creative to make fun gifts and storytelling.
and
It's good.
that's the way to do it too. And you know, a lot of people get wrapped up in that, the idea and the tradition of just gift giving for the sake of it. You know, I can't tell you the times I try to. My father is, you know, a little hard to shop for sometimes, and you try to find something that might be useful or unique. And you know, you generally get a good, like, "Oh, that's nice, thank you so much," for kind of reaction, as you would expect. And I was also thinking about a story that Conan O'Brien told on his podcast, a story that he remembers from his childhood, where, you know, they would get his father, you know, stuff, and he and his six siblings. And, you know, he would always have a wonderful reaction and be very warm. And then, you know, he would take it up into his study, and he would put it in his study, and there it would sit. And so one year, his brother, I think Paul or whomever, was looking in his father's study and saw the clock, the radio clock that he had given him a couple years prior. It was still in the same box, hadn't been opened or anything. So he grabbed it, rewrapped it, and gave it to his father that Christmas as a Christmas gift. And his father didn't notice at all. He just said the same reaction, "Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Look, it has AM and FM. That's great. You know, I'm going to use this." And up it went into the study again. And
That's fun.
you know, it's kind of funny that we just, you know, sometimes feel like we have to do something because of social pressures or the culture. And of course, in Conan O'Brien's case, that was a big Irish Catholic family, so you have the religion behind it as well. But I thought that was a particularly funny story. But you
Well,
know,
I've known
it's
families to rewrap the same present to keep passing it along every year.
yeah.
It's fun
Here, you can
too.
have the scented candle now.
There you go.
But you know,
You know,
it's been.
this is fun.
Yeah, I
You know,
think
I
we're both
guess
coming
it's,
to the same point.
yeah, we are. I think it's important at this time of the month to have this discussion, to reassure, reaffirm, give you some ideas, stimulate you to thinking about ideas of what you'd like in the coming weeks. Because, you know, it's only a couple of weeks away, guys, and so it's to give you a little time to put your thinking caps
Well,
on. So.
and let us not forget those precious credit card companies that cannot survive without the relentless spending that is done this time of year. So,
I know, I know. Well,
well.
so this is the point, Michael, and for those listening in the archives and those who are new to us, where Michael draws an inner oracle self-discovery cards, just you know, designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly, and then I do a supporting tarot card. Let's see where we're at, and we have a few names because we put it in the chat. Would you like a card? We have a few names, and I think we're ready to go.
I
And
believe that we are.
Ronnie is first, as I can tell.
All right, so drum roll, please. Let's see, Ronnie. I have number 9, empowerment.
Good one.
Good draw. Let's see. Taking your power back is literally all powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Ronnie, the Six of Hearts is in support of that. Now, I often see the Six as service, sociability. It's also about family commitments, promises, you know, that kind of thing. So, I think I'm getting from this is maintaining who you are in amidst a lot of different types of personalities, perhaps, or characters. And I think kind of fitting as we're talking about traditions and such, maintaining who you are, maintaining your empowerment. This is a time of year, especially this time of year, where we can start to feel that external pressure and how to, you know, interact, get along, and the world's kind of crazy right now. So I think that's just an affirmation to you. Just be you. be okay with you. And it doesn't mean we don't, okay, I'm with these people, I'm just not going to talk about those topics because we know it's not a good one. We do have to kind of navigate that, but stay you. So that's what I have to say about that.
That's a good message. They're all good messages, but that was a good message. All right.
Jamil is next, I think.
And Jamil, I have wild card number 3, blocks. Let's see. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
Jamil, I got the 3 of diamonds. Now, my old teacher Magda, bless her heart, she would say, the old gypsies would call that the church card. Well, of course, that energy changed over the years, and it's evolved to its meaning of that place of prayer and that place of faith. And of course, as Michael says, you know, it's don't dismay, have hope. So what I want to say to you is have faith. Whatever situation or something that you could be worried about or concerning you, hang in there, have faith, because some energy is going to shift for you, and I feel that you're on the precipice of it. So I just want to say hang in there. Okay.
We have Audra up next.
We do.
Audra, I have number 43, expediency. Let's see. Timing is everything. Some things some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, this is interesting, Audra, because I got the Hierophant. And what I want to say to you is stay home. I don't know why I want to say that. When you feel anxious, I'm going to go here. When you feel anxious, when you feel like you've got to be doing this or got to be doing that, I just want to say calm down and watch a movie. Like, Hierophant's about routines and home and conformity. And in this sense, I'm saying the place where you can relax. Sometimes it's important to take those times just to be and not think about anything. Don't even meditate. Don't do anything. You know, just mindlessly do the dishes and, you know, sweep the floor and go through your day and never mind. And then it'll come to you the exact moment to act. I believe that truly. That's my message to you.
Absolutely. I just throw in there, I mean, allow yourself to maybe binge watch a show or two on Netflix, but other than that.
I do.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Edward. I have number 39, education. Very apropos. I know that we're discussing education a lot in the different courses earlier in the chat. Let's see. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself. Then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Oh, and the 8 of hearts in support of that, Edward, is follow your intuition because you don't know where it's going to take you. So as he just put in the chat, education, one of his favorite activities, and taking more courses and such, even if it seems to be something frivolous that you want to learn, I believe it'll be important later. So it's intuition that where something kind of sticks in your head and say, yeah, I really want to read up on that. I really want to learn more about that. And, you know, it's like going in the dark, but you only have the moon to guide you, and it's going to be relevant later. So carry on. But follow your gut. I'd like to just, before we read Jeff's cards, I just want to say that there's a few comments in the chat right now. Jamil, he got blocks last week as a message, and he definitely has faith that something is coming soon. Glad to hear that. Then Audra was saying that's an important message to her, but she said, dang, she wishes she could take time out, but she's cleaning up a mess left by the last manager, meaning she's been just chasing to be home. So that's that affirmation to kind of take time out for yourself in there. So thanks for that feedback, everyone. That's great. So now, Dr. Jeff, who's been through big changes this year, and he's winding down 2021. What have you got for Jeff, Michael?
Dr. Jeff, I have wild card number 9, blank.
I love that card.
This card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. And it is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Wow, I love that. I do, and especially that you have the Eight of Diamonds in support of that. Now, the Eight of Pentacles in tarot language, simply as I see it, that's apprenticeship, creativity, learning, but it's kind of like on-the-job training, so to speak. But in this, when I put the blank card in this together for you, Jeff, I feel like you will be taking a course or brushing up on something. I can still see another piece of paper, a certification. And I think once your life gets a new rhythm here, which it is, I think into the new year, you're going to be applying yourself to life in a new way. And I'm excited for you. So that's a really good affirmation that you're on the right track. Everything is evolving as it should. And you're recreating your life. That's exciting. I like it.
I do too.
I don't see any other names in the chat, Michael. Do you?
No, I'm not. I haven't either. So,
okay.
I think that brings us to that time of the evening.
Well, I have appreciated this talk, and I know we've had a couple of comments that others have also appreciated this, and. You know, we'll see what we're going to talk about next week. But for this moment, I think thinking about traditions, what you want to incorporate as you're coming up to the season, including the people you care about. I think that it's often enough that I hear, because I don't have this issue anymore, but how do you include people you don't really care for? That can be a problem.
but
there's always a character in a family, right? I think, but I went about creating my own life as you guys have too, so we're good. But that's not to dismiss how other people often find it stressful, you know, about the Uncle Joe who's coming, who, you know, blah blah.
Oh, don't let Uncle Joe get beer. He's going to go on and on. He's been watching the news lately.
but you know, it's get excited about this time of year, people. Look, we've been through a rough couple of years. Everybody has, and no exceptions. And some have had it worse than others, some better than others, but it's still been stressful to everyone. So we need optimism here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, energy. We need to project that optimism. Is COVID going away yet? No, but get used to it. But we can still adapt. And we adapt in the ways that are best for us. And you know, that's, you know, however working your environment that you're in. And stay safe.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Good advice. And, you know, I think another important thing, just cut each other some slack too. You know, it's been tough. It has been difficult, and not everybody deals with it as gracefully as others. And I don't know which camp I'm in, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to another great discussion with you next week, Dr. Hunter. I always appreciate our chats, and I appreciate the, appreciate the ability to come together and have these, you know, kind of group sessions where we exchange ideas in the chat too and during the live broadcast. So thank you for that, and thank you to everyone joining us tonight. Please join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.